This is the Breaker.News podcast for July 15th, 2018. Welcome. I'm Bob Mackin, publisher of the Breaker.News and host of the Breaker.News podcast. The Breaker is your source for news, opinion, and analysis about British Columbia issues, institutions, and influencers. Later, I'll tell you how you can support the Breaker. On this edition, regular features like the Is It Just Me commentary, Around the Rim, headlines about the Pacific Rim, Cascadia Calling, headlines about the Pacific Northwest, The Big Deal feature, sounds of the Catalano Street Party, and a chat with Zulu Records proprietor Grant McDonough about the ups and downs of independent music and independent business on West 4th Avenue. And all a wordy virtual Nanaimo bar to someone who made a difference. Now, is it just me? Is it just me, or did you enjoy the 2018 FIFA World Cup? A good time had around the world, and a good time had by many in Russia, except for the Italians, the Dutch, and the Americans who did not qualify. Except for fans of Leo Messi, Cristiano Ronaldo, and Neymar. Yes, Neymar, who would be the world's best player if he just stay on his feet. It was a World Cup more about the teams than about the superstars. England was a surprise to make it to the semifinals. This was the third youngest team ever sent from the home of football. Gareth Southgate's lads will be the ones to watch at Euro 2020 and possibly Qatar 2022. Which is all a roundabout way of saying that it happened again. Yes, the athletes always save the mega event. They do it at the Olympics and they do it at the World Cup. But now it's time to get back to talking about the bigwigs in the suits. Just 3 years after a massive corruption scandal brought FIFA to its knees, we wonder, will world soccer's bosses hurry up and transform this organization into the shining light that practices the same integrity that it demands of its players? It isn't there yet, obviously, and it may never make it. I revealed in The Breaker this week how Vice President Victor Montaliani quietly bought a $6.6 million mansion in West Vancouver last year, while he was being paid $2.6 million to run the North and Central American and Caribbean FIFA subsidiary that is known as CONCACAF. That's more than FIFA President Gianni Infantino was paid, and more than what the presidents of the US and Mexico and the Prime Minister of Canada were paid, combined. Montaliani's mansion mortgage is with Scotiabank, a CONCACAF sponsor. Montaliani is, like the Scotiabank slogan, richer than you think. He did not respond for comment, but CONCACAF said that he had been a Scotiabank customer before he became CONCACAF president in 2016. So, on the surface, there may be nothing wrong at all with this relationship. But it's the optics. A FIFA executive living a jet-set lifestyle in the lap of luxury in one of Canada's most expensive postal codes. Meanwhile, CONCACAF countries include some of the world's poorest people, such as Haiti. This is the same FIFA executive who dared criticize political leaders like BC Premier John Horgan for playing hardball over the costs and uncertainty of hosting 2026 World Cup matches. What do you think? Email Bob at thebreaker.news. Now it's time on the Breaker.News podcast for Around the Rim. We look at news headlines around the Pacific Rim. In the South China Morning Post, banners declaring Philippines a province of China appear in Manila on second anniversary of Hague arbitration result. Banners calling the Philippines a province of China mysteriously appeared on bridges in Manila, sparking fury on social media on what was the second anniversary of Manila's victory over Beijing in a landmark arbitration case. No group claimed responsibility for the banners, which feature English and Chinese characters and a Chinese flag flanked by dragons. City authorities were seen removing some of them, which were spotted in at least five locations. The Permanent Court of Arbitration in The Hague ruled 2 years ago that China had no historic title over the waters of the South China Sea and that it had breached the Philippines' sovereign rights by blocking its fishermen and building artificial islands in its exclusive economic zone. Russian news agency TASS reports, Vladivostok Airport refutes information about arrival of Kim Jong-un's aircraft. Vladivostok International Airport did not receive airplanes from North Korea on July 9th, except for a weekly passenger flight from Pyongyang. The North Korean plane, mentioned in reports, was not at Vladivostok Airport. This is most likely a mistake. As for North Korean aircraft, we had only an Air Koryo flight, RA85, yesterday, which runs on Mondays and Thursdays, the press service said. South Korean Yonhap news agency said earlier that a personal plane that belongs to Kim Jong-un was seen on Monday in Vladivostok, where it allegedly stayed at the airport for about 3 hours and then flew to Pyongyang. This information was not confirmed in the North Korean embassy. Russian presidential spokesman Dmitry Peskov also said that he does not have information on the landing of the North Korean leader's airplane in Vladivostok. And the Yomiuri Shinbun reports, torch relay for 2020 Tokyo Games to start in Fukushima Prefecture. The torch relay for the 2020 Tokyo Olympic and Paralympic Games will begin in Fukushima Prefecture on March 26, 2020. The Games Coordination Council decided July 12th in Tokyo. The council members agreed that starting the relay in the prefecture would be an opportunity to showcase the reconstruction of local cities and towns severely affected by the tsunami triggered by the 2011 Great East Japan earthquake and the following accident at a nuclear power plant. The torch relay will last 121 days, traveling through all 47 prefectures until the game's opening ceremony on July 24th, 2020. That's Around the Rim on this edition of the Breaker.News podcast. Now it's time on the Breaker.News podcast for Cascadia Calling. We look at news headlines around the Pacific Northwest. On Cairo 7 TV, Lindsay Sheldon reports, a new report reveals data breaches in Washington nearly doubled from 2016 to 2017. A new report from the Attorney General's office reveals that data breaches nearly doubled in Washington State from 2016 to 2017, with malicious cyber attacks growing significantly. Local cities, universities, and companies all investigated data breaches in which Washington residents' personal data, including W-2s with Social Security numbers, were exposed. In 2016, there were 39 breaches affecting 450,000 people. In 2017, a whopping 78 breaches affected 2.7 million people. In the Oregonian, Andrew Thien reports, Portland lays out long list of rules, regulations for hopeful e-scooter companies. Portland's Transportation Bureau formally released its requirements outlining what electric scooter rental companies must do to legally operate on city streets. There's no limit on how many companies can apply. Portland formally invited Lime Bike, Skip, Bird, Goat, and Spin to apply. If applications are approved, permits would be valid from July 23rd to November 20th. The regulations include a 25-cent per ride surcharge levied by the city, potential fines owed by the company if users block streets or sidewalks, and requirements that the private entities share data with city officials. In some cities, e-scooters' arrivals have created a mess of the lightweight devices popping up on sidewalks all over town, creating nuisances and worse. In Portland, it's illegal to ride an e-scooter on a sidewalk. And in the Penticton Western News, Steve Kidd reports, new bat moving into BC. It hasn't been seen yet, but new species of bat has been heard making its way into the Okanagan, joining the roughly 14 species of bats already in the province. Writing in the Okanagan Bats newsletter, biologist Mike Sorrell said the echolocation calls of the canyon bat have been recorded at multiple locations in the Skaha Bluffs area. The canyon bat is a very small bat found in rugged deserts in western North America. Its call was recorded once before in BC several years ago, west of Osoyoos. But as this was a single incident, the BC Bat Conservation Center considered it accidental. A new session of bat counts began July 11th, running to August 5th, with bat watchers throughout BC being asked to do at least two counts at roosts they are observing. Bats are specific about the time they come out, which is at twilight, about 9:15 p.m. at this time of year. That's Cascadia Calling on this edition of the Breaker.News podcast. Vancouver's largest annual free music festival took over West 4th Avenue again on July 7th. The Catalano Street Party, named for legendary Squamish chief August Jack Catalano, took place during 10 hours over 10 blocks from Burrard to McDonald. The event is held by the Kitsilano West 4th Avenue Business Improvement Association and produced by Donnelly and Associates. It featured music and food of all sorts, and shopkeepers selling their wares. One of those shopkeepers is Grant McDonough, the man behind the till at Zulu Records at 1972 West 4th Avenue. Before we get to my interview with Grant McDonough, let's listen to some highlights from the festival. First, a taste of cosmic singer-songwriter Malcolm Jack. Then, Jasper Sloan Yip, who is billed as the leader of an experimental folk rock sextet. Bless the mids as they run out of time. We're always children, unless the clock is wrong. Unless the clock is wrong. That was Jasper Sloan Yip, and before that, Malcolm Jack, both recorded live at the Catalano Street Party on July 7th. Now, my interview with Grant McDonough, owner of Zulu Records, which is billed as a record store and community center since 1981. While the chain stores have come and gone, Zulu has remained. Grant talks about adapting to the challenges of a changing city and a changing business climate. But the one thing that never changes is the love of good music. Give us a bit of a nutshell history of Zulu Records.
Well, Zulu was started back in 1981, and there was a previous record store called Quintessence Records from 76 to 81. So, like, going back to the 70s, there were a few record stores on 4th Avenue. There was Rohan's Records at the earlier part of the decade. There was, you know, people remember Black Swan Records very affectionately, just west of McDonald, but Quintessence, Magic Flute, etc. Quintessence was like a kind of folk prog rock store, and then there were movements in music, i.e. like that new wave punk movement, and so they kind of went that way. So basically Quintessence catered to a specialized clientele, and hey, I used to shop there, and eventually I got a job there, and that led to, when, even though Quintessence had its good days, it also had its bad days, it went out of business. So Zulu took over. I started Zulu back in 81 to sort of continue on what Quintessence was about and try to learn from some things they did right and hopefully not make some of the same mistakes, which we all do, but, you know. So it was just to keep a good music store here on 4th Avenue because it was a very vibrant arts community in the 60s and the 70s. And to this day, that's what we try to do with Catalano. It's based on the history of the street as far as promoting adventurous music, etc. And so... There's a lot of history on this street, to say the least.
For anyone who's an independent business person in Vancouver, the cost of real estate and the high taxes are two major issues.
Well, it is a major issue, and I'm glad that it started getting some media attention late last year when whether you would see in various papers, like, you know, businesses that went out of, for, you know, sometimes it could be Robson Street, it could be Commercial Drive, it could be Fourth Avenue, you know, and it is extremely hard, to tell you the truth, the cost of doing business on any commercial corridor in Vancouver. In the 36 years we've been in business, the property taxes have gone up tenfold. Now, I know there's a difference between, like, a person's residential home or their commercial building going up in value, and there's pros and cons in that, but I think is that, how can I put it, the music industry has been hit hard, to say the least, by, you know, change in technology, etc. The cost of any building in Vancouver is high, other than the physical land. I'm talking about the taxes. So it's really hard, and I guess what it's not exactly, I don't have scientific proof on this, but in my years that I've been here, I've seen the rents on 4th Avenue go up about 3 to 4 times, yet the property taxes have gone up 10 times. Kitsilano got hit pretty hard with tax increases because the values in the early 2000s, because, you know, the buildings went up, and because the property taxes are tied to the building, and I believe in most cases it's tied to its potential zoning versus its real zoning, it puts a lot of pressure on, like, the one-story old-timer buildings to, you know, how are they going to, you know, increase the revenue if they only have so much square footage and they don't have that extra space up above. So, yeah, it's, to tell you the truth, it sucks, and I'm really, really worried about independent business in Vancouver, like true independent business. I've seen a lot go out of business on 4th Avenue, and 4th Avenue is doing much better, I think, than a lot, because it is a vibrant street. We're happy for that, but it's, you know, to do something like what we did back in the 80s, if Zulu had not succeeded, it wouldn't have been the end of the world. It would have been a drag, but to do it again, I think, would be almost impossible unless you have extremely rich relatives or something. It's just super expensive to run any business, and a record store has its own, you know, problems like any other media arts kind of things, and publishing, movies, you know, you name it. We're all getting hit pretty hard by technology, but the cost of independent business is really high in the city, and I think a lot of people know it's not quite 5 to 1. I don't know if it's 4.75 to 1. The ratio of commercial tax on a commercial building versus a residential place, right? So if a residential homeowner pays, you know, $8,000 or $9,000 a year in property taxes, the commercial building pays $35,000 or so. That's something that a lot of people don't realize in this city, and they wonder, how come that place is so empty? It's because I think everybody knows it's expensive, but they might not really figure out that the triple net portion, you know, the taxes predominantly, is such a, it makes it hard on the commercial realtors too. They're not happy about it either, because they have to pass it on to the potential tenants, and that's why buildings sit empty, whether it be any, you know, look at Robson Street, it's taken a real hit because of things like that. It was expensive anyways. So because I was fortunate to work at the old record store Quintessence, and this started in the early 80s, I saw a lot of businesses open on 4th that really made a difference to the community at large. And and, you know, whether it be a place like Lifestream, I mean, that became fairly popular, but, you know, the Whole Foods, the organic foods that they sold, like 4th Avenue was really important for the arts, obviously, in the 60s and all, but in the 70s, but it really, there's been some really innovative businesses that have opened on 4th. And matter of fact, even if I might say something about, good about ourselves, like, if we weren't around, there would be no Castellano Street Festival. Like, we were the ones that suggested that they had this thing called Hippie Days, and it was a celebration of the Summer of Love, the 40th anniversary of it. And they ran it 3 years, which it was a bit tired, and I'm glad that they did it. But there was nothing to replace it, and it got canceled. And that's where Castellano started. So you could say frustration is what started it all, because, and that, as an independent business, we know a thing or two about local music, and it was like an opportunity to promote this, to promote, like, how do you say, the spirit of 4th Avenue with contemporary bands. And that's lasted 8 years now, and it's been wonderful. But the point is, that's the true difference of independent business. Like, so many of our neighbors around here have made significant changes, whether it be electronic bikes or, I mean, food items. I don't even know where to start. Like, that's something that a true independent business can make a difference on, when they're not restricted by being part of a chain or, you know, national ownership or something. Like, you can adapt to the local market, and you can come up with innovative ideas, and frankly have some fun with it. So that's when it really works. And I know that, you know, it's a really good feeling to see people have a great time on something that you were a pretty key part of, like our business was, to making it a success like Catalano has been. So and whether it be any other part of town, you know, you see incredibly innovative businesses on Commercial Drive, on Main Street, on the Hastings Sunrise area. I love seeing that. You know, it's kind of like a hockey team. I wish we could trade some businesses for theirs, because I see some really good businesses and I wish they were my neighbors, but I'm glad that they're at least doing it somewhere else in town, because it's making those neighborhoods really, really good.
What is on your turntable for 2018, for the summer?
Well, you know, the great thing about music, and that's probably been the most fun part of the job all these years that I've been here, it's, you know, you're listening to new records and listening to old records, and there's always great artists coming up, always great releases. So, this year, as far as the newer side of the coin, people like Leon Bridges, he sort of caught on last year. He's got a second album out, but his first one, you know, he's a bit of a Sam Cooke sound, and that's a nice sound to reference, you know. You got to be pretty talented to pull that off. So Leon Bridges was a very good one. People like Courtney Barnett, she's an Australian, kind of a lot of attitude in a good way, sort of singer-songwriter, folky, but she's quite aggressive. She's great, what can I say? So that's one of the better ones of the year. Father John Misty has a new album out. Yeah, it's the type of thing at any given time, there's a half dozen records that I think, oh yeah, is it worth buying? Yep, there you go. So that's my own personal taste. And at the same time, as far as classic records, it is surprising how certain, I think one trend I've noticed is that whether it be like the Beatles or the Stones or Pink Floyd, like the big bands of the 60s and the 70s and the 80s, it's almost been whittled down to that, you know, people won't buy all dozen Pink Floyd albums or all 13 or so Beatles albums. I forget how many they did, but it's around there. They'll buy the same two or three. I mean, I think that because music is available on people's phone, they know, they listen to it all, they want to make an effort to maybe buy one or two, but they can't quite afford to buy them all. That's understandable. So people have access, and they have really access to tons of music, and they make a choice.
Thank you to Grant McDonough at Zulu Records. The highlight of the Catalano Street Party on July 7th was Slow. The seminal Vancouver punk band that broke up in 1986 reunited last year. Grant McDonough and Zulu Records released the first single by the quintet of singer Tom Anselmi, guitarists Christian Thorvaldsen and Ziggy Sigmund, bassist Stephen Tam, and drummer Terry Russell. Their signature song is Have Not Been the Same, which was the climax of Slow's set on the TD McDonald stage at the Catalano Street Party 2018. Let's have a listen.
This song is dedicated to Fishing Jim fucking Haddock. Yeah. fucking cup, Castellano, B-I-A, for the motherfucking out.
Every week, we end the Breaker.News podcast on a tasty note by awarding the goodness of a virtual Nanaimo bar to a deserving person or organization that has made a difference. A virtual version of the province's favorite dessert bar goes this week to Eric Brown. Eric Brown is the diver from Langley who joined a team of international heroes that rescued the 12 Thai soccer players and their coach from a flooding cave. The world watched 32 soccer teams in Russia over the last month. The world also waited for good news about one soccer team in Thailand, the Wild Boars. People in Thailand who put their lives on the line, like Eric Brown, are real heroes, and he truly deserves this week's virtual Nanaimo Bar. You can nominate someone for a virtual Nanaimo Bar. Email me, bob@thebreaker.news. That's it for the Breaker.News podcast for July 15th, 2018. I'm Bob Mackin. Thanks for joining me. Did you know that on July 15th in 1916, George Conrad Westervelt and William Boeing incorporated Pacific Aero Products in Seattle? Pacific Aero Products later became known as Boeing. You could say their business really took off. Now you know. Send me your feedback. Send me your story ideas to bob@thebreaker.news. Bookmark thebreaker.news. You can also find us at thebreaker.ca. Sign up for the email newsletter and get updates to your inbox. For news as it happens, follow The Breaker News on Twitter and visit TheBreaker.News on Facebook. You can support The Breaker for as little as $2 a month. For more information, go to patreon.com/TheBreakerNews. patreon.com/TheBreakerNews. Until next week.